Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, and what a joy it is to have you there by the radio or the computer. And on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we want to invite you to today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And if you are a new listener, welcome aboard. If you are a regular listener, welcome back. And we're going to be having a special guest with us in just a moment. Abe Silas is a fellow who has been involved with radio for many, many years, but this past Saturday, he was also involved with the Freedom Summit down in Greenville, South Carolina, and we're going to be receiving a live report from him on what he learned and what his observations are. But before we talk about that, this is just something that came across the line that shows us how ridiculous things are getting in the secular world today, and that is that ABC San Diego affiliate KGTV is reporting that a professor at the UC San Diego is forcing his students to strip down to their bare essentials, that is, down to nakedness, as a part of their final exam in his visual art course. If they don't do that, they're going to receive an F for the semester. And, of course, this particular professor has been insisting on doing this for many, many years. He makes no bones about this erotic nature of the assignment, which he explains is in the course syllabus. And he believes that these gestures are very important to understanding art. As a matter of fact, this idea of stripping down to total nakedness is the seventh of eight gestures students must perform in order to receive a grade in that particular course. But if you don't strip down naked, Sam, you get an F for the semester. Now, you know, on one hand, we can laugh at this and say it's silly, it's ridiculous. And as you said before we go on the air, it must be a course in transparency. and maybe so, but it's ridiculous that we've stooped this low in order for students to get a grade in a secular university.
Well, Gary, it is without a doubt. But, you know, there is the logical end to throwing off absolute truth, to throwing off self-restraint, decency, any of those things that we have taken for granted for a long time are completely been redefined. And when this can actually, when someone in a college classroom can actually believe that they can require such a thing, well, and expect some to comply by it, shows the intimidation of an improperly positioned teacher in a classroom. But boy, on the other hand, the fact that you could do that, when I would guess, Gary, believing that there's not going to be some kind of ramifications or punishment against him, shows what the throwing off of restraint does. We're seeing all over the country.
It appears as though this is something that he's been wanting to do for quite some time now and just finally has come up with I was going to use the word courage. I'm going to use another word, excuse me, but the stupidity of it, which I believe is what it is, the depravity of it. He's finally decided to do this, but doesn't that show, Dave, how much our society is simply becoming more and more loose every day?
Well, Gary, you know, what's tragic about this is that there are parents probably paying these, for the tuition for these young people to attend this college. Obviously, there are parents that are doing that. And this is the kind of quote unquote education that they're receiving. It's absolutely boggles the mind that that's taking place. But it does go back to what you said, what Sam said. This is the ultimate expression of an attempt to throw off all decency, all restraint, all of the things that that should be part of a culture and part of an individual's life. This is the consummate expression of that.
Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this reminds us again as to why it's so important to get out the Word of God and make an impact for Christ in our community, which, of course, is what we are attempting to do on a regular basis here at the American Pastors Network. Well, today we are delighted to have a guest with us, and Dave, I'm going to ask you to introduce him in just a moment. But he is going to be giving us a report on what was referred to as the Freedom Summit down in Greenville, South Carolina, where a lot, not all, but a lot of the hopefuls who are running for the conservative position on the presidential ballot for 2016, they attended, and their goal, of course, was to explain to people what they think about faith and religion and government and freedom and so forth. And I understand it was quite a gathering. Dave, why don't you introduce Brother Abe for us at this point, if you would, please.
Well, Gary, I'd be delighted to. This is actually my brother-in-law, Abe Silos. And Abe, it is a delight to have you aboard today. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. It's so important and critical in this day and time that we live in right now for people to stand up in the gap. And I sure appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
Well, Abe, let me ask you this. I know you were at the event that was held in it's a building called the Peace Center there in Greenville, South Carolina. It seats several thousand people. And I know the media has reported on what you had already shared with me a couple of days ago at the conclusion of the summit. And that's, of course, why we wanted to have you on. You said there was an outstanding attendance, and all the major players, I mean, all the major GOP players that have either declared their candidacy for president of the United States or they're going to declare at some point in the very near future. All of those players were there and a part of this summit. Abe, can you give us just kind of a general feel here, just right out of the chute? What was the excitement level, the anticipation level, perhaps, that you sensed inside the room as this Freedom Summit started?
Well, one thing that really struck me was just the message of encouragement in light of all the bad news that we hear today. And of course, this was the third Freedom Summit that was hosted by Citizens United, the President David Bossie, and also Congressman Jeff Duncan, who is a very strong conservative here, representative from South Carolina. And they had already had the summits in New Hampshire and Iowa. And so South Carolina is a key state, and so a lot of the candidates know that if they can win the hearts of the voters here in this state, that it really sets a strong foundational stage for their future campaign. And so, but overall, it was an exciting time. It was packed. In fact, there was people waiting. It was actually free access, and but you had to go online and register ahead of time, so they had a limited number of tickets. There were people who showed up at 5 a.m. and waited in line, and the doors didn't open till 9 a.m.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Gary, I'm going to turn over to you because I know we got limited time. I know you got a question you want to ask, so I'm going to let you ask that very, very quickly.
Well, I was just going to ask Abe this question, but I will hold it until we come back because we're coming up against a hard break. But the question really was, and you can think about it, out of those candidates who were there, which one do you think had the most support at the end of the day? You can hold that answer until we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and myself, Gary Dahl. We're talking to Abe Silas, who was at the Freedom Summit in Greenville, South Carolina on Saturday. He's going to continue to give us a live report on some of his observations. So stay tuned. We will be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com, to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute in Harrisburg, I'm Brandon McGinley. Earlier this week, I participated in a meeting with leading human trafficking activists from across Pennsylvania. We were discussing the role of strip clubs and other adult businesses in sex trafficking, that is, modern-day slavery, in Pennsylvania. Many of the women and minors who are employed by these businesses are subject to coercion, sexual violence, and ultimately, trafficking. It's a serious problem that requires serious work. We are working on House Bill 262, which would impose new common-sense regulations on these businesses, such as ensuring sex offenders can't own or work in them. Call your legislators and ask them what they are doing to help trafficking victims in our state, and ask them to support House Bill 262. For more information about this and other important issues, visit us at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. Sign up for free email alerts at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The son of a rabbi, born this day, May 11, 1888, he was 4 years old when he immigrated from Russia to New York. Falling in love with America, he served in the U.S. infantry during World War I and wrote some of the country's most popular songs, including Alexander's Ragtime Band, White Christmas, and God Bless America, the royalties from which he gave to the Boy Scouts. Who was he? Irving Berlin, who in 1945 received the Congressional Gold Medal from President Eisenhower. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and we have on the line with us today Abe Silas, who attended the Freedom Summit down in Greenville, South Carolina, where a number of the hopefuls for the Republican Party's nomination to the presidency for the election in 2016 were talking a lot about freedom and a lot about government and a lot about all sorts of crucial issues that relates to our nation. And before we took the break, I was asking Abe who he thinks came out on top. And Abe, if you can answer that question, then we'll go to Brother Sam Rohr for another question as well. Abe?
Well, that's a great question. It's really a difficult question. When you got men and women like Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, Senator Rick Santorum, Governor Rick Perry, Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Ted Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, and Carly Fiorina. You've really got a power-hitting lineup. And, you know, kind of from what I'm hearing off this summit, a lot of folks are saying Marco Rubio is probably coming out really strong at the top or near the top. Senator Ted Cruz is there as well. I was impressed with Donald Trump's business savvy, his toughness, his attitude on how to deal with China, and the fact that our jobs are being taken overseas. But I'll tell you what, it's something that we need to do is we need to come down and unite as conservatives on principles that are so important, like limited government, freedom of enterprise, strong families, and national sovereignty and security. Those are big issues. This immigration issue was a huge issue. So whoever we choose as a candidate representative, and all these candidates touched on those issues, I think it's critically important right now. And then I found that they were really pretty much on the same page in terms of those issues. They weren't divided in terms of cutting each other out and trying to, you know, one-up each other. They're really very, very united, and the people that were there are just looking for the right leader to choose.
Well, and it was interesting you mentioned Ted Cruz, because one of his statements was that the United States cannot win a war on radical Islamic terrorism with a president who is unwilling to utter the words radical Islamic terrorism. Sam, that's a profound statement, but we have a president that doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, Gary, it is. And, you know, one thing that that most of these candidates have for them is frankly someone to look at this president and almost on every front can say, we're not going to do it the same way on this, 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 and this area, and have some responsiveness to the American people because it's so far off. But Abe, I have a question for you on that regard. And Gary asked you a good question. You know, who did people leave with, thinking, you know, had delivered the most significant message, perhaps? But my question would be to you on this: was there a consistent message of from standpoint of a constitutional? Let me. I guess maybe just to phrase it down this way: which one of them stood out to you as having the most constitutional message? Let's just go there first.
Probably, I would say Senator Ted Cruz. That's a really tough question, because when you're sitting there all day and people are clapping and standing ovations and really trying to encourage these candidates as they try to speak out the truth, identify these key areas that we so critically need in leadership, America is looking for a strong leader, and that's who we need to help to identify. So I'm going to say Ted Cruz or even Governor Rick Perry, who has a vast amount of experience in running a large government and taking a government that was in Texas from a $10 billion minus to a $10 billion surplus during his tenure, and then even willing to send the National Guard down to the Texas National Guard down to the border to protect the border, because our president was unwilling to do so. Yep. I would say that Governor Perry would be at the very top, along with Ted Cruz. I think.
Okay, one quick one, then back to you, Gary, on this. Abe, just one other quick question, just trying to get the highlight. Which one of those you think had the strongest delivery on the economy?
I would think that Rick Perry not only had a strong delivery, but he had a plan to get us back on track.
Which one?
And gave hope.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt you again just to try to move it along. Which one do you think gave the presentation that bore down more on our Christian heritage or a biblical the biblical underpinnings perhaps of our republic?
I would say that because I didn't get to hear Dr. Carson, but I think Senator Ted Cruz was real strong in that area.
Interesting. Very good. Gary, back to you.
It's interesting that Dr. Carson basically said to the crowd, he said, what we need to do is to resist the purveyors of division on radical and gender issues. Seems like he's trying to unify the nation. Of course, I think, Dave, he would be the one who could do that, being that he's an African-American. But did you hear him say that, Brother Abe, that the people of America need to resist the purveyors of division? I think he's probably talking about the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and things along
that
line.
I've heard him allude to that before. But the successes of these men, really are foundationally based on our Constitution, and that's why they're speaking out for we the people, and that's why it's so critically important that once we select, one individual, not be divided as conservatives.
Well, I think that he's got the ability to be able to do that. Donald Trump was there, too. Did you get to hear him?
I actually did hear Donald Trump. I was impressed with his business savvy. For instance, he gave a couple of really good illustrations on how he would deal with the Chinese. Basically, he said, he would just pick up the phone, talk to their leaders, or even the CEO of Ford, who wants to put in a $2 billion factory down in Mexico, and he says, look, we're going to charge you a 35% import tax for all vehicles, all your goods and services. And he said that would definitely bring them to attention and to listening to what we the people in America need to hear, which is more jobs.
Well, I think he's the guy who knows how to bring more jobs to this nation. I mean, I'm not sure that he'd have my vote, but I think he could make a positive impact. Dave?
Gary, one of the things that I think has come out of this Freedom Summit in South Carolina, Abe alluded to it. I know the media has been talking about it some early this morning, and that is the fact that there is a lot of hope out there. In fact, there was an outstanding piece on Fox News today talking about how Reagan brought to the country at a very critical time, probably the lowest ebb in our lifetimes, at least in recent memory, with all the problems we were having economically. Reagan came on the scene, ran for president in 1980, and brought this hope, this expectation that America could be great again, that we could return to the faith of our founders and to those elements that made America great. And I think, Abe, that's what you're saying you sense there at this Freedom Summit from all of the candidates that were there. They were not attacking each other. They were offering a large dose of hope to the citizens of South Carolina.
That was exactly right. And I thought it was very positive in that sense. And, but there was a section where Dr. Frank Luntz took some polls. One in particular he took that was stood out in my mind was from the audience. He said, how many of you think it's better to vote for a former senator? Some people raised their hand. How many of you think it's better to have a former governor? And it was overwhelmingly a huge response to that question. So, but I think overall, we as conservatives, as constitutional supporters, as citizens, need to unite together to win, because the enemy has been real good, as you well know, in being divisive and dividing people up in so many areas.
Sam, A brings up an interesting thought there, and that is the question on would you rather have a senator or a governor in the office of the presidency. I think that the last senator we had in the presidency was John Kennedy, and I don't remember who prior to that. And I understand why, because the governors, they've got executive experience and so forth. What must a senator do to win the office of the presidency today, Sam?
Well, they're going to have to, I think, be overtly clear on the issues. They can't speak like a politician. From that sense, they've got to be clear, and they're going to have to demonstrate some kind of experience on certain of the key issues, not just foreign policy, but the underlying constitutional principles. But they got to speak to the economy too if they're going to be accepted by the majority of the people. They have to demonstrate some kind of experience in that area, I believe.
Abe Silas, thank you very much for being with us today. God bless you as you keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
And ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more right after this on Stand in the Gap Today. Don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News. Ready to go? I'm Pam Puso. Officials in Northeast Texas just confirming two deaths as a result of yesterday's vicious storms in the city of Van. Eight people remain unaccounted for.
Approximately 30% of the city of Van has suffered damages, ranging from completely destroyed homes to downed trees and power lines.
County Fire Marshal Chuck Allen.
The Red Cross established a shelter here at the First Baptist Church in Van. And as of this morning, 50 people had registered here at the shelter.
Officials are requesting donations like food, clothing, and blankets. They've made their case against the death penalty. Lawyers for Boston Marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev have rested.
The prosecution now calling its rebuttal witnesses. Later this week, closing arguments. Then the jurors will deliberate life in prison or the death penalty.
Fox News Radio's Bill Marcus. Closing arguments are set for Wednesday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
When nations become proud and forsake God, their rulers will cease to rule in the fear of God and instead rule with oppression and self-serving interest. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible is clear that there are undeniable marks of unrighteous leaders. Isaiah chapter 1:23 says they're rebellious because they act as if they're God. They're companions to thieves because they use their positions to steal wealth and dignity from their citizens, either for themselves or to redistribute to their friends. And because they love to take gifts and bribes, they distort justice and refuse to protect the innocent or fairly apply the law to the poor or those of lower standing. So consumed with themselves, personal power, and greed, they turn their back on God, to whom they'll give an account someday, and instead give favored treatment to those with money and influence, rejecting the needs of the widow and the orphan. And God says he'll judge the nation where the leaders do these things. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you to think about this the next time you cast your vote.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.com. Net.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, a ministry of the American Pastors Network, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dull. And most of us are probably aware now of the fact that over the weekend, two more police officers were killed, this time down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is a city of about 50,000 people. And, you know, it's interesting, these police killings aren't just unique to the big major cities of our nation. We find that Hattiesburg, just a relatively small city of 50,000 or less, became the victim of such killings over the weekend. And I think that we're going to be seeing this more and more and more, because most of your cities in the nation today are in that realm of 40,000 to 60,000 people. But what we understand is that two police officers were killed, and I think that there are four in custody now as a result of that fatal shooting. But, you know, Sam, when it comes down to it, and we've heard a lot of this being discussed on the national news, and again, Al Sharpton gets involved with some of these things in what I believe to be a very, very unreasonable way. But when it comes down to it, why are the police being targeted the way that they are today? Is this a trend against the police due to hatred? Is it a rebellion against authority? Could it be a matter of racism, or is it just because of the wickedness of humanity? You know, the mayor of Hattiesburg came out and said that it's been 30 years since any of their policemen have been shot. And then I think it was 20 years before that. He said, we are not just like that down here in this town. But what's going on with this all across the nation? I was talking to the chief of police of the city of Altoona here the other day, and she says, we are living in fear, not knowing what's going to happen next. What is causing all of this to take place these days?
Gary, I think that what we're seeing is the result of two principles. One is the, put it in a biblical sense, a reaping and sowing consequence. It's the result of an attitude that has developed within our society where we have thrown off God, which is moral constraint. We've belittled the Bible and said you cannot be teaching this in a school. You can't have the Ten Commandments hang on the wall. We've thrown off absolute truth, and so we've eroded the very component of a free republic that even in Pennsylvania, William Penn said, is based on people constraining themselves according to the Ten Commandments. That is the essence of self-government. If people do not constrain their own actions by themselves, it will have to be forced upon them by a much heavier hand, what Romans 13 calls the sword of civil government. It's the effort of stronger force overcoming other force. That's one, and we're seeing the result of that resulting in lawlessness, disrespect for authority, disrespect for those who are older, disrespect for property. That's one, Gary. The second one is that I believe it is, in fact, a tool that's being used by those within our country to purposely undermine our system of law. And you'd say, who's doing that? Well, part of that's coming out of our Justice Department. I mean, just this morning, the former police commissioner from New York City was interviewed and commented on the fact and said Eric Holder himself, he blames with purposely targeting police with the public attitudes of the people across the country. I believe that by their actions and by their statements, they are actually trying to undermine. What does that lead towards? I think ultimately it's leading towards a militarization of the police that many and higher levels of government want to have so that they can ultimately bring federal control right down onto the local level, which obviously is the antithesis of our republic. It is the opposition to our state sovereignty. It is the opposite of all that we have known it to be. But I think these two things are working together, Gary.
You know, those are interesting answers. And you know, a number of years ago, we were involved here in the Altoona, Pennsylvania, in getting the Ten Commandments put up in the public schools. I think I spoke about that on the program here recently. And, you know, praise the Lord, we got it done. And the Ten Commandments were there in the high school, the Altoona School District, which is the 11th largest school district in Pennsylvania out of 500. So you can see it's quite sizable here. And, of course, in the process of getting those Ten Commandments hung back up, we heard that somebody said that one of the reasons why we should not hang up the Ten Commandments is that somebody might read them and obey them. That was a judge, David Kistler, who said that if we put up these Ten Commandments, somebody might read them and obey them. So my question to you, Brother Dave, is this. Is the attitude and the curriculum that's being taught in our public secular schools today contributing to things like police killings, contributing to things like we talked earlier today about that professor out at the UC San Diego requiring his students to strip naked for the final test? I mean, is the curriculum and the attitude in public school contributing to this in a great way?
Well, Gary, let me say this. The scripture says in the book of Judges, when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. A king was an authority figure. When there is no authority, and I'm speaking back to what Sam was referencing just a few minutes ago, and that is this. When there is no moral authority in a country, when there is no biblical authority, which is the basis upon which moral authority in this nation has always rested, when there is none of that, no moral, no biblical authority, then yes, absolutely, Gary, we get what we get in the public school system, whether it be the high school level, the elementary level, whether it be on the college level. We get the same thing that we're witnessing all across this nation with this rabid defiance of authority on the part of any segment of society toward police, toward anyone that's in a position of authority. We get this kind of response. What does not help? And again, I'm not trying to politicize this at all, but what does not help at all is the fact that we have a president, every time there is a police shooting, he immediately rushes in, wades right into the middle of it, makes accusations against the police, as he did the first time this happened with the Cambridge police, not a shooting, but the Cambridge police up there in Massachusetts. He said they obviously acted stupidly. And then every time there's been a shooting of an African-American, he wades right into the middle of it. And yet what I'm waiting for, Gary, is this, and this is just tragic. It is absolutely unbelievably tragic that we've had two police officers killed in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The president has yet to say a word about them. So what does that do when you have the leader of the country, yea, the leader of the entire free world, so-called, not stepping up for police authority, not defending them, but rushing to the defense of those who are defiant of police authority, then that that does not bode well and will not bode well for the future of this country. And Gary, I do believe this. I believe what Sam said is true. I think this is all part of an orchestrated effort by entities who want to see revolution in this country, and they will seize upon any situation, any uprising to help facilitate that revolution.
Sam, do you think it's going to get to the point where the police in America will just not do their jobs? I mean, you know, just having a stop along the highway, you know, if a fellow's speeding or whatever. I think the policemen are absolutely fearful to have a traffic stop like that. Do you think they're just going to start winking at things like this and even to greater breakings of the law? And, of course, that will lead to greater lawlessness in this nation?
Gary, it will happen. It will happen unless authority strengthens authority appropriately. Meaning, if all they continue to get from the higher levels of authority, meaning Washington, his administration, the Justice Department, all of that, if all they get is a belittling, if all they get is a bringing them up on charges of that they operated irresponsibly or stupidly or whatever, then in fact, you will see this action happening on the local level. Gary, it's just like the old days when everybody became a friend of lawsuits. The litigious society that we developed a generation ago, the result of it was is that it changed people's behavior. Medicine became defensive, as an example. People didn't come up with new products because they thought somebody was going to sue them. It does affect behavior. So authority must support proper authority. Otherwise, that will happen. Just you can predict it, Gary. And that will obviously be very, very bad for our society because who then will step up to defend themselves? It'll force individuals to do it, which that is not what we want to have happen to see.
And that could become very dangerous. You know, when we look at the rebellion against authority, David Kistler, we can trace that way back to Lucifer's rebellion against God. And so we can very obviously say that what we're seeing in this nation today is demonic and satanic.
Well, Gary, it is the fulfillment of that. It's the it's just the natural outgrowth of what Lucifer himself said. I will be this. I will do this. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And Gary, when we have a country founded so wonderfully upon Judeo-Christian belief, now throwing off all of God's authority, then what can we expect to have except what we are watching? It's unnecessary. It doesn't have to happen. But when we throw off all restraint and all God's authority, then we're going to get exactly what we're getting, and we're going to get more of it, and it's not going to be pleasant.
Parents, I want to encourage you to teach your children and your grandchildren the truth of the Word of God, because the truth of the Word of God is the law of God, and that will lead your children and grandchildren to respect authority. We'll be back with more right after this, so stay tuned.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin. Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to bring something up here that we heard just before we went on the air. I do not know if anyone else is reporting it, and we are checking into our sources on it even as I speak. But, Sam, we had heard just before we went on the air about the possibility of a cyber attack going to be taking place this afternoon. Can you bring our audience up to date on that and give any further information that you might have on it?
Well, I can, Gary. Yes, it's being now reported on Fox News and some other entities. But basically, this is what the release states. ISIS attackers plan a, quote, message to America, end quote, attack today. So ISIS hackers plan message to America attack today. They're threatening, these are ISIS, are threatening to carry out a cyber attack dubbed, quote, message to America, end quote, against a number of targets today at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The targets were not identified, but they are saying, this is what they're trying to say, that it's promising something, quite, quote, surprising, end quote, that will, quote, frighten America, end quote. Now, this same group that's releasing this, which is why now the Homeland Security has issued a top alert here at this moment, they're also the same ones that are in the same thing threatening London, England, on extremist forums. They've threatened to do some things over there. They're calling it under the Twitter hashtag London attack. So to me, as I'm looking at this, they are trying to intimidate, clearly, Western world by the fact that it's not just us. It's London, but it's also here. And I just would just tell people to this kind of thing we have to be aware of, Gary and Dave. We have to be aware. We can't be silly and ignorant and hide our heads in the sand, but neither must we at all run in fear or anything of that type. These guys try to intimidate. Part of what they try to do is intimidate people into bowing to their pressure and trying. That's what they're doing in the Middle East. That's what they're trying to do to us. This is the time for strong moral leadership to respond in kind according to what government's purpose ought to be, and that is to protect its citizens and to use the sword appropriately against those, in fact, who are there to destroy. So, again, we cannot coddle these kinds of things from the White House or from Washington. They must be responded to as enemies of freedom and enemies of these United States. But clearly, they're ratcheting up their mantra, at least at this point, Gary.
So at this particular point, Brother Sam, we really have no specifics as to what this cyber attack will be, supposedly set for 2 o'clock this afternoon.
No, it's not. And see, before we were when on this program on Friday, we alerted to the fact, one of the first ones to say that the alert had gone up against military bases. So this is a continuation of the threat to military bases. This is now more of a general thing, cyber attack. And we could frankly spend an entire program, Gary, on the impact of cyber attacks around the world. Literally, military attacks are one thing, but the ability through cyber attack to do this, to do damage to a nation, to its infrastructure of manufacturing, of lighting, and all kinds of things, is immense. And our nation's been involved in it, but so are these others. North Korea's been involved. Russia has been involved in attacking our financial system through cyber attacks. Cyber attacks can take the form of any kinds of things, but I find it's interesting that these guys, these ISIS individuals, are crude on the ground and care nothing for life, but they're also using some advanced technology, which you put those two together. They are, in fact, something to be concerned about, and that's why, as we've talked about in this program, it's so odd, it's so unbelievable that our administration does not take these guys for serious, but terms them a second-rate band or junior adversaries or whatever the president said. They're not junior adversaries.
junior varsity, I think, is the phrase that he
junior
used.
Junior varsity. Yeah,
yeah, junior varsity. And of course, he is just simply oblivious to the great dangers of our nation and of our world, I think. You know, Dave Kistler, I read an article probably within the last 2 weeks that said that many people believe that the next Third World War will be mainly a cyber war. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, that is more than possible. In fact, if I could just remind us, I don't know how many of our listeners will remember this, but I think it was September 14th of 2014. There was a report that came out. I don't know how broadly or remember how broadly it was spread, but basically it said at that time there was an attempt on the part of ISIS for a massive cyber attack. And gentlemen, what they're wanting to do is this: before they establish a worldwide caliphate, a literal physical caliphate, their intent is to establish a cyber caliphate. In other words, take over all components of the cyber world, bring America, bring the rest of the West to its knees. And then if they can demonstrate that they can do that, then they are firmly convinced they can bring literally a physical caliphate, which is exactly what these Muslim entities want to do. So, you know, gentlemen, this is no light thing. This is not something that should be taken in any degree lightly. As Sam said, they are brutal when it comes to the way they operate on the ground, but they are incredibly savvy when it comes to how they operate technologically. So this is not something to take lightly. And I would just admonish our listeners, not trying to spread fear. We don't run and hide from things like this. We conduct our lives. But even as you're moving about, not just today, but every day, keep your eyes and ears wide open. Pay attention to what's going on around you. And the phrase is well said: if you see something that doesn't seem right, then certainly say something about it.
You know, the late Adrian Rogers preached a good, strong message years ago on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, where he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And, you know, Sam, these terrorists, many times they're not as interested in destroying us, although they are, but many times they have a greater interest in just bringing fear into our hearts, because when there's fear, we don't act. We run away and hide. So that passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, is a great passage to take into consideration in light of the days in which we live.
It's exactly correct. And that's why, Gary, we need strong moral leadership that's based on truth, that gives the kind of confidence and direction of how to address the face of evil. I put this is the face of evil that confronts us around the world. We long for strong leaders. We long for leaders who believe in God, follow justice according to what the scripture defines it to be. This is the time for leaders in the pulpit, leaders in the home, leaders in civil government. This is the time. That's why we need to pray for all of those in authority, as we are commanded to, Scripture commands us to do. For many reasons, we should pray for authority.
I don't really like to end the program on a negative note, but ladies and gentlemen, I think that it's the failed policies of the Obama administration that has allowed ISIS to come up and be what it is today. We need strong leadership indeed. We thank you for joining us today. And on behalf of Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for remember, it's true, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.